And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy TV Radio Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host, Nathan Jones, and we're transmitting live from our station. Hey, stay tuned as we have an incredible program prepared for you as we continue talking about the subject matter of Bible prophecy from the crypt. So get your Bibles ready in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, for today's program. And of course, we encourage you to keep our program in prayer. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for your word that shines a light unto our path. And Lord, we know where to go because you tell us what is right and wrong. And Lord, as we come into this Halloween season and people aren't sure what is right or wrong anymore, that Lord, your light will shine so that we may be able to know where to go. What is moral and what is not? God is in that, Lord. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan Jones. Again, you're tuned into The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy TV Radio Edition. Our subject matter is that of Bible prophecy from the crypt. Hey, today's program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Aventura University. You can find more information at ccu.university. Before we continue, again, I'm going to welcome my co-host, Nathan Jones. Nathan, it's great to have you on the program.
Hey, man, it's excellent to be on with you yet again.
Exciting times that we're living in, Nathan, where we were talking earlier regarding life, and we share, man, we're so appreciative for all the blessings that God has given to us as believers, right, Nathan, considering all the crazy stuff that's happening around the world.
Oh, I mean, just look at China and see the persecution of Christians as the Communist Party gets concerned about Christianity spreading so much, destroying the churches. You know, in Eritrea, there's thousands of Christians living out of containers. In North Korea, there's estimated 200,000 to 300,000 Christians living in modern-day concentration camps.
Wow.
We see how bad it gets around the world, and it really makes us realize here in the West how good we've got it. I mean, we, you know, obviously complain about how bad the persecution of Christians has just begun in the United States, especially with censorship, but we're not living in countries like Nigeria where they're hunting you down and killing you in the streets. So it's something Excellent. To be thankful. Count our blessings, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Count our blessings.
Yeah, Nathan, I say that because soon we're entering some wonderful holidays such as Thanksgiving. And sometimes people are wondering, what should I be thankful for? Man, there's a lot to be thankful for, right, Nathan?
There really is. Obviously, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins is number one up there. You know, without him, we wouldn't be saved. Our sins wouldn't be forgiven, and we wouldn't be looking towards heaven as our eternal life. And so praise the Lord for that. Family, friends, food, the fact that we live in an economy, we have jobs. It's just real blessings from the Lord, and we need to not take those for granted.
Yeah, Nathan, and speaking of blessings, this program is a blessing. So we pray for those of you that are tuned in. Hey, recognize again that this privilege that we have, things are changing, laws are changing, and the spread of the gospel is under attack. So pray for our program here and also pray for some of the things that we're involved in. Oh, Nathan, talking about things that we're involved in, we have some wonderful news. You were sharing with me, you and I started a book project about 2 years ago. Can you update us what's going on with that?
Well, we blogged and taught through the book of Revelation from the angels' point of view. There are 72 angels or groups of angels found in the book of Revelation. And man, that is just exciting. So many angels. It's the biggest concentration of angels in the whole Bible. 108 references to angels in the Old Testament, 176 references in the New Testament, and many of them are in the book of Revelation. So since we taught through it so well about 2 years ago, we was like, hey, we need to turn this into a book. And so now, after 2 years, as of this recording, almost November of 2019, The Mighty Angels of Revelation is out. You can order through our website at landlion.com, on Amazon, and on Barnes & Noble. Got it both in print and in e-reader. If you want to know about what the angels are, who the angels are, and what they do in their service to the Lord, as well as learn about the book of Revelation, I think this is one of the... You and I put everything in the kitchen sink in this book, and praise the Lord, Land & Lion Ministries is publishing it, and it's coming out, so please get your copy.
Yeah, and it's coming hot off the press to print already, right, Nathan? Very, very soon.
Yeah, you could go ahead. We could go ahead and order it, and this week, actually, we're supposed to get it from the publishers, so I am excited because, man, it's been a labor of love between both of us. We also brought in a great illustrator, Shalise Stevens, who did 12 angel illustrations. We start each section. There's 12 sections in the book, and each section starts with a story about John as he's in heaven, and it takes you through Revelation. And then, of course, we get into the book of Revelation. As the angels show up, we tell a little more about the book of Revelation and a little more about learning about angels, which is called the angelology, the study of angels. And so I've never seen a book this, and I got to give it the credit to you, man. You came up with this idea when we started teaching this series, is that let's teach the book of Revelation from the angels' point of view. And I've never seen another book do that. I have talked with the publisher who says that one of their authors is thinking about doing that. So we beat them too, whoever that is. it's our idea. So we're going to have this come out soon before anybody else. And it's just been wonderful to learn about how God manages the universe through his servants, both angels and the church. And really, all of Revelation is about Jesus' victory. He wins. And since we're his children, we win as well. That should get you excited.
Woo! And Nathan, and you and I, of course, we always give all the credit to the Lord, because throughout these programs that you and I have been doing for so many years, God continues to reveal to us incredible things. And you know, we're talking about angels, but we're entering into a time very soon, a celebration this week. The people sometimes don't tie together these so-called celebrations and the spiritual dynamics behind it. And we know, you and I know, that angels, of course, they are our guardians. They are the good. But there's also other spirits out there that are the darker side of things. And we want to talk today about that. That's why we called our program, or we titled it, Bible Prophecy from the Crypt. So Nathan, talk to us. What exactly is a crypt?
Well, if you go to dictionary.com, a crypt is a subterranean, in other words, underground chamber or vault, especially one beneath the main floor of a church, and it's used as a burial place or a location for secret meetings. So in one aspect, crypt is particularly related to church and church history. It's the catacombs that could be found under churches. During times of persecution, the Christians would meet secretly in these crypts or vaults, so nobody knew where they were and they'd be safe. And even if you look at the Islamic spread through Turkey, like in the Fairy Caves, the people, the Christians who were under persecution, lived in these crypts to escape persecution. So that's got a lot of history, but it's, we know, basically where the dead goes. I'm reminded of that show, was it from the 80s, Tales from the Crypt? I think that's what you're referring to, right? When you say Tales from the Crypt is the title of the series, part two here. Had that puppet, right? He was like the crypt keeper, and he'd pop out of the coffin and tell a story.
Exactly. And you know, Nathan, that's why now it seems that they've turned everything around with Halloween and death and celebrations and zombies and people coming out up from the dead and from the crypt. And I thought, you know what? The Bible actually has a lot to say what's really coming up from the pit, from the crypt. And you and I touched on this last week as we looked at Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. But Nathan, in case someone didn't tune into our program, can you read for us again Revelation 9, 1 through 3, as we talk about these Bible prophecies from the crypt?
Okay, well, as we get into Revelation 9, 1 through 3, bear in mind the context is the 7-year tribulation. This is the fifth trumpet judgment out of 21 judgments. This is the fifth of the second set, and this is what God does to punish the sin in the world. He releases this judgment. It begins, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power."
Woo! Nathan, this is an amazing passage, because what we're noticing here, Nathan, is, I mean, we wrote this book about angels. And of course, it's from the perspective of good angels, good guardians that are all around us. But here, what you're describing to us in Revelation 9 is that we're talking about a different type of spirit, a different type of angel. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, yes, very different. We got to remember that in the beginning, Satan and all the demons, as we call them today, were angels like all the others. They were good angels. They worshiped and served the Lord. Matter of fact, Lucifer was the worship leader and guardian of God's throne. it says he played many instruments and he led the praise and the worship of the Lord, but it started going in his head. He was the greatest of the angels and he coveted God's position. So when he coveted God's position, he caused the first sin of pride. He led a third of the angels to follow him. They attempted to overthrow God. Obviously, nobody can overthrow God. They lost and they were cast down to the earth. And in their sin and rebellion and evil, what was known as good angels became evil spirits or demons. What we're reading with this fifth trumpet judgment is that not all the demons that inhabit the earth are in the air. They're called spirits of the air. And we know that they inhabit men. They're without form. So they possess people. They look for bodies, Jesus said. But there's another group of demons that have been cast into what's called the bottomless pit. And the bottomless pit, it seems, is in the earth. And it's a pit that separates two chambers. One called paradise, which is where the Old Testament saints went before Jesus died on the cross. And now when you die, you don't go to paradise. You go to heaven. The other one's called torments, and that's if you die in unbelief, then you go to torments and await final resurrection and judgment at the great white throne judgment. So in the meantime, in this bottomless pit, this is where God keeps these locust-looking demons and their general named Abaddon or Apollyon.
Excellent. And Nathan, of course, we see that, of course, there's going to be a demon resurrection, if you will. They're going to be loosed upon this earth for judgment in the time of the tribulation. And Revelation chapter 9 here, beginning on verse 13 through 16, actually tells us that some others are actually bound in different places. Will you be able to take us there and read for us Revelation 9 verses 13 through 16, Nathan?
Okay, so not only as a judgment upon the world, does God open up this pit, bottomless pit, and all these demons who look like locusts sting people and cause great torment for 5 months. But the next judgment after that is also a judgment of letting this great evil loose, and these are more demons. In verses 13 through 16 read, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.' So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. And now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard their number."
Nathan, that is incredible. So here we have, again, as we talk about this vault, if you would, where these demons, spirits were being kept, they're going to be loosed for a while. Havoc is going to be raised on the whole world, if you will. And Nathan, that's why when I think about a lot of what's going on today, with a lot of these movies, a lot of what Hollywood is putting out, a lot of these zombie things, as we talked about in our last program, I mean, we believe the world is actually preparing for an onslaught of demonic attack.
This obsession with demons, with the occult, with UFOs, it's all dabbling in the spirits of the air. What we see here in chapter 9 of Revelation are demons that are so wicked that God does not allow them to travel along mankind. We're talking about swarms of demons in the shapes of locusts. And now we've got these four mass murdering angels who command a 200 million man army. Now, we don't know if the 200 million are people, maybe human armies, such as from China, as some propose, or they're demons. I tend to think that they're demons we're talking about. So the world where we don't see the spirit world, we don't interact with it unless you dabble with the occult or the New Age, is actually visible and let loose upon the planet. And with such malice and hatred for mankind made in God's image, it doesn't matter if you're good or you're evil during the tribulation, these demons hate you and they want you dead. And it's only those, what we call the tribulation saints, those who've accepted Jesus as Savior after the rapture, who will be protected from these two plagues.
Nathan, and you know, excuse me, that's amazing, because we know that these demons, of course, there's a leader behind them. And Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 actually tells us that it has to do with Satan, the dragon. But the good news is that they're going to once again be bound. They're going to be thrown back into this pit, if you will, into this cavern, like we talked about, into this vault, not to be released, Satan, and for 1,000 years. And this is what awaits those that have turned their back on God. But to the believers, to the Christian, we believe there's going to be a resurrection, if you would. And that's the good news. And we have to share the bad news so people can recognize the darkness behind what's going on in a lot of these celebrations and what's really behind it. But for the believers, the good news is that we will rise again and we will be with the Lord forever. And Nathan, one of those stories that reminds me of coming out, if you will, resurrection from the dead, is the story of Lazarus and the rich man in the Bible. And it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. And I thought, Nathan, maybe you could take us there and read for us those passages so that people can see the hope that is found in a relationship with Christ.
Right. Well, we're leaving one tomb or one crypt, so to speak, which where the demons are held. Now we're talking about where we put our dead human bodies, another crypt. And this is one of the most amazing stories in the whole Bible. Good choice is here in John chapter 11, verse 38. It begins, "Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him," in other words, Lazarus, "who was dead, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there is a stench. He has been dead for 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Didn't I not say to you that I would, if you believe, you would see the glory of God?' Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.' Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, 'Loosen him and let him go.'"
Oh, man, Nathan, every time I read this, it reminds me of those mummy movies, right?
Yeah, well, that's how the Jewish people would wrap you. They put these swaddling clothes. We hear about Jesus when he was a baby, he was put in swaddling clothes. Well, Mary and Joseph were dirt poor. Swaddling clothes are actually wrappings for dead people. They're like gauze that you just wrap around and around, similar to a mummy. And that's what they had did here. They'd taken the body and they stuffed this gauze with all sorts of spices and things to so they can look upon the body longer. But by this point, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. After 3 days, you're well past where the body's starting to decompose. And in the heat of the Middle East, Lazarus was stank. He was probably purple. He was probably oozing. You know, it had gotten bad. Jesus actually, which is amazing, he waited for Lazarus for days. He could have come early when he was notified that Lazarus was sick. He could have healed him. But no, Jesus wanted to show everybody, that as the Father commanded him, that he had the power over life and death. And you can't get any more of a great object lesson than bringing a man from the dead.
That is fantastic. You know, Nathan, it's interesting how backwards the world is. We celebrate resurrection. We celebrate life. Today, it seems people want to celebrate death. Dia de los Muertos, if you will, Day of the Dead, and also a lot of these backwards things. And it's just amazing how different our two worlds are, right? The difference of the believers who celebrate resurrection and life, and the world who seems to be celebrating death and destruction.
Well, look at the future of believers versus unbelievers. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then death, as the Apostle Paul said, has no sting. It might hurt to die. You might die of complications or disease or whatnot. But once you're dead, you're in eternal life forever. There is no more suffering or sorrow or pain. You will live in a new glorified body and you will have hope for the future. You will live eternally forever with your Creator and Savior. But if you have rejected Jesus Christ's salvation, and as John 3:36 says, the wrath of God remains on you, then your future is very different. You'll be sent to Hades when you die, a place called torments. It means torment. It's a place of suffering, of heat, and gnashing of teeth and darkness, the Bible describes. And there you'll wait to the end of the millennial kingdom, when Jesus will finally resurrect the unredeemed dead for the great white throne judgment. And all those found guilty, and that's everybody in Hades, because they did not accept Jesus' salvation, they did not have their sins forgiven, will be sent to what's called the second death. And that's the lake of fire, and that's hell. So there's no wonder the society today is so obsessed with zombies and vampires and the occult and death, because the only future that they have his death, not only the first death, but tragically the second death as well.
Excellent point. And Nathan, and again, for those of you that just tuned into the program, you tuned into the Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy TV Radio Edition, Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, as we're talking about Bible prophecy from the crypt and what that looks like biblically. Nathan, what an excellent point. You know, Nathan, again, the Lord promised us, he gave us hope for the believers that there will be life after death, that there will be a resurrection, if you will. And Nathan, when you were reading there in John chapter 11, I was wondering if we could back up a little bit, and maybe you can read for us verses 23 to 27, because you started talking to us about the hope of the resurrection. And I just thought regarding Lazarus, what Jesus said there in verses 23 through 27 is also powerful.
Oh, it is. Well, here, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, are mourning. And Jesus says to Martha, he says, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.
Oh, man. Nathan, that's an amazing passage. I mean, anybody that proclaims the name of the Lord and believes by faith according to the scriptures, that's granted for them as well, right, Nathan?
Absolutely. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and then beating death by being resurrected by the Father from the dead. Jesus is what the Bible calls the first fruits from the dead. Everybody else that Jesus or the apostles resurrected, or even some of the prophets like Isaiah, they would resurrect people from the dead, but they would die again. But Jesus, he stayed alive. And because he beat death, then he can grant it to us as well. And that's what he does. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you would accept him as your Savior, your sins are forgiven, then when you die, and we will all die, unless we're raptured, there's one generation of Christians who will be raptured up to heaven. But if we're not part of that and you die, you will be resurrected from the dead. Your earthly body and your heavenly intermediate body will unite into what's called your glorified body. And that's your eternal, everlasting body that never gets sick, it never dies, it never wears out, it never gets tired. That is eternal life. And Jesus says here in verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In other words, he's not talking about the first death, he's talking about the second death.
Ooh, amazing. And you know, Nathan, you made such an incredible segue, because talking about, again, resurrection, new bodies, examples from, nature, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 55 are such an encouragement. Can you take us there and read those for us, Nathan, and then we'll talk a little bit about that?
Sure. 1 Corinthians 15, which verse do you want to start at?
51 through 55, as we're talking about just the resurrection and the power behind it and what awaits the believers.
All right. Well, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruptible, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Man, Nathan, what an encouraging passage. There is our victory from the crypt, right, Nathan?
Yeah. This is actually a rapture reference. There will be a time when Jesus will end the church age by rapturing or taking up those Christians who are on this earth up to heaven. And he will also resurrect those who have died in Christ, the church age, up at the same time, even though the dead in Christ rise up just a little bit before, but it happens so fast, you know, like a snap, a blink of an eye, lightning bolt. It'll happen so fast that we won't be able to really tell the difference between those who have died and those who are raptured. You and I have been teaching for years the biblical signs of the end times that point to the fact that Jesus Christ is soon returning to rapture his church up to heaven. Brother, I believe that you and I live in that era. We're the era to see Israel become a nation again. Therefore, we're in the era that will see Christ rapture the church. Brother, I hope we live to go through it. But if we don't, then hey, we're in heaven and we'll just be resurrected and get our glorified bodies anyway, right?
Hey, that's great news to me, Nathan. I'll take it because, you know, again, that's why you and I do this program, because we're celebrating life. We're celebrating resurrection. We're celebrating hope. It's sad, again, that these next few days, oftentimes people are going to be celebrating all of the opposite of the things of the Lord. And this is why we are doing this program, is to educate, to encourage, and for people to be aware. There's such a wonderful blessing in celebrating the things that the Lord tells us to. But Nathan, I know that there's certain people, sometimes they get caught up in certain celebrations. They're not really aware what's going on because they're just following the trends of the world. And Satan has blinded the eyes of many. And this is why we do these programs, to help open the eyes of the blind spiritually. And so that people make a commitment in coming to Christ before the darkness takes over. And Nathan, would you, again, you hinted about our relationship with Jesus, but maybe there's someone out there that hasn't truly repented and turned to Christ. Can you share with them how they can start their relationship right now, right from wherever they are?
Absolutely. Well, first, we got to remember that you're going to die. It's inevitable. We can pretend a death isn't looming, but all it takes is a car accident, a slip down the stairs, a heart attack. You name it. It's so easy to die. And when you die, you got to think about, where are you going? Are you going to be in heaven with Jesus forever? Or are you going to go to torments and then wait until you're resurrected and then sent to the second death? There's only two paths that people can go. One is to heaven and the other is to hell. That's our eternal destinies. That's why in this life it is so important, vitally important, the most important decision you'll make is whether to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. And here we've read verses where Jesus tells us how we can be saved from our sins, our transgressions against Jesus Christ, against other people, our rebellion against God. That's all sin, and it needs to be forgiven. You can't stand before God the Father unforgiven unless you're there in judgment. And all you have to do is approach Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. Pray from your heart something like, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior." Nothing magical to those words. It's about the heart. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, your sins will be forgiven. The guilt will be gone and you will now inherit eternal life. You will know that you are destined for heaven.
Ooh. And Nathan, that is excellent news. I want to thank you for sharing out, for sharing that wonderful, again, invitation. We see we have a number of people following us on social media. We thank you all for tuning in. We thank you all for praying for us. We will pray for those of you that are maybe listening to this program right now or watching this program now or a later time. This will be a great opportunity for you to help celebrate with us, for anyone that maybe has trusted in Christ right now. And also let us know. And feel free to, again, share this program with your friends. Send it forward, because that's why we do this, is to encourage people to reach the lost and to let them know that there is hope out there, even though this world seems dark at times. So that is the encouragement that we want to leave you. And again, for those of you that trust Christ, you can always reach us at 305-992-9537. Nathan and I will rejoice hearing that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and want to celebrate with you. And Nathan, when our new book is out, I'm going to send them a copy for whoever reaches back to us and let us know that they accepted the Lord, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
Fantastic. So Nathan, again, we ran out of time for this segment of the program, but I want to thank you so much for bringing us through these scriptures and opening up for us, again, the reality of what's going on between dark forces and the angelic forces of good, and how God also offers us so much hope for our future. So thank you, Nathan, for being part of the program.
Thank you, brother, and a happy Thanksgiving coming to you.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you, Nathan Jones. And of course, for those of you that are tuning to the program, we ran out of time for this segment of the program. But again, look up, be ready. The Lord Jesus is coming back very, very soon. God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. So Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, say goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have wonderful, safe celebrations in these next few months.